will call the first council meeting of the new council. And the first order of business is to look at changes, additions to the agenda. There is one to be added under in camera, 17.5, sale of municipal property under MGA 22-2A. Any other additions? A motion would be fitting to approve the agenda. So moved, Councilor Fraley. Seconded, Councilor Fisk. All in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. Are there any presentations today? None that I'm aware of. We will move on to tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Last call for petitions. Hearing none, we will move on to public questions. Members of the public gallery are able to speak, ask questions, make comments this morning. Please limit your comments to 5 minutes. State your name and address. Yes, Mr. Robertson.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. First of all, Mr. Mayor, I would like to wish you and your council every success in governing Queens County over the next 4 years, and I'm sure that you'll do a good job.
Thank you.
From there, referring to the agenda under 9.2 with respect to the fire department training facility, I assume that stems from the loud bang that we heard here and rattled some houses here a week and a half ago in town when they were doing some training, I guess, with the fire, and scared a lot of people in the area. Anyway, I just make that as a comment. I assume that's in relation to that. And under 14.1, Queen's Place, event there, concert, it indicates there that it's been negotiated in camera and that the CAO will be signing this contract in camera. And I was just wondering when that information will be made available to the public.
When the details are finalized, one would expect that later in the fall there will be a public announcement.
It will be announced later on, eh? Okay. And I guess I haven't quite used up my 5 minutes, Mr. Mayor. Just one other thing. On Sunday evening, I received a call from the number, which I didn't recognize, so I let it go to the answering machine. And it came up with respect to a survey that the Region of Queens is doing. And the name that was left on there was Jarrett Lucas, and he was with Nova Insight. And he said that he was doing a survey for the Region of Queens with respect to planning. He said it would take approximately 10 minutes or so to answer the questions. I didn't get back to him. I didn't know what was all about. He left a phone number. Do you have a comment on that, sir?
It would be my understanding that on the agenda today under 12.2, that issue will come forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that would like to comment or ask questions? Hearing none, we will move on to approval of the minutes from the last regular council, October 25th, 2016. Moved by Councilor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Mews. Any discussion? All those in favor? Approved? Unanimously? Any reports under dangerous or unsightly premises? Economic development, 8.1. I would ask Councilor Mews to deal with this item.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoints Mayor David Daly is its representative on the Liaison and Oversight Committee of the South Shore Regional Enterprise Network, REN, with immediate effect.
Seconder to that, Councilor Fisk. Discussion? Are you ready for the question? Councilor Fraley?
This is set up so that other mayors and other municipalities are on this board as well, correct?
So Correct. The Liaison and Oversight Committee of the Regional Enterprise Network is all mayors. It doesn't specifically state you have to be a mayor, but all the other mayors are on this, so this is a formality to appoint our mayor to that position.
Council McLeod?
Could you just explain what the role of the steering committee is?
Liaison and Oversight Committee is? Sure. So the governance of the Regional Enterprise Network, there is an appointed board of directors, which includes business and currently elected officials. That's going to mostly move to business officials here very soon, as the terms of reference are. So the day-to-day overall governance is provided from them. However, the funders and the primary interests are the municipalities. So each municipality and the Department of Municipal Affairs, Nova Scotia Business Inc., provide liaison to the board and to the operations to ensure that the ongoing work reflects and we're having our final oversight towards that. That's provided from the mayors, and that's the role.
Councilor Kelly?
So is there public reporting coming from this committee or this or the REN? Have we had anything from them yet? Are they actually operating as a network at the moment?
Yes. There has been reports provided at council on some of the work. One of the major pieces of work that will be coming to council here very soon is there is a strategic plan that's being prepared and recommended to the board of directors and the liaison and oversight committee that will come to council. Up to this point, there were councillors on the board of directors, so as well as the liaison and oversight committee, there was also a councillor on that to report back. Going forward, we would expect the member of the community, the business community that's representing Queens, to report back to council on board of director matters. Absolutely.
Councilor McLeod?
Just a little clarification on what the RENs are, if I can just explain it. It's it replaces the old regional authorities, and
regional
it's nine regional economic authorities, and I think there are nine RENs within the province districts.
Could be.
And we're combined with Lunenburg and Shelburne and Queens are under one REN network. Is that correct? With representation from three counties.
Any more discussion? Call for the question. All those in favor of the motion? Unanimously approved. Thank you. Under 9.0, corporate services, I would ask under 9.1, New Year's levy request for assistance. Councilor Fisk?
Yes. I also recommend that the Council of the Regional Queens Municipality approve sponsorship in the amount of $450 for the Legion New Year's levy to be funded from the advertising and promotions budget.
Seconded. Councilor Fancy. Any discussion?
What was last year? What did we give last year?
$700.
Wow. Okay, sir.
The change this year is that it will be a fish chowder instead of a seafood chowder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lower cost. It's becoming difficult to maintain the expenses of the levy for the Legion.
Okay.
So, Councilor McLeod.
The public really look forward to this event every year. It's very well attended, and it's a family event as well, so it's really good to be able to support this over the numerous years that we have.
And the Region of Queens has been very happy to partner with the Legion on this event. Any other discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Councilor Fisk? 9.2,
yeah.
Motion Fire Department Training Facility?
Yes. I so recommend it is the recommendation of Council of the Region of Queens Municipality to direct staff to incorporate with the Liverpool Fire Chief to prepare a report with options for the consideration of alternate training locations. With respect to open burning for the Liverpool and other regional of Queens fire departments.
Seconder. Councilor Kelly. Discussion. Councilor Frehley.
I'm just wondering what this actually refers to. I know it's about the burn, but you're saying consideration for alternative training locations, but you're not referring to actual training.
Yes, CAO Rich McClung.
So through the mayor to council, last week the mayor, Councilor Fisk, and I met with the chief and deputy chief at the Liverpool Fire Department. They determined that they're not going to do open air burning at the Liverpool Fire Department facility going forward. They've requested us to work with them to identify other locations suitable for training. During the very brief and preliminary discussion, there were probably about a half dozen locations that were discussed to assess, so we'll quickly work with them to look at the viability of those and bring a report back to council with a recommendation to assist them with a suitable location for them to do their training going forward in the future.
The second part of that is that the actual burning matter that they were burning was old paint and could have toxins in it. So it's not only the actual spot, it's what you're actually burning. That's why we have a landfill that's able to treat that matter. So I would like to see that as part of it, as the whole package.
So noted. Councilor McLeod?
The locations that they may look into as possible locations, are they all on municipal property,
I believe so. I need to confirm that. I think they all were. Yeah.
Any other discussion? Are you ready for the vote on the motion? All in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. Appointment of Deputy Mayor, 9.3, Councilor Fisk.
Actions. That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality select the Deputy Mayor by secret ballot forwarding nominations by Council colleagues for the position at the November 8th, 2016 meeting of Council. That the Council of Queens, that the Council confirm that duration of the appointment for 2 years by making a public motion including the name of the councilor selected. Background. The following is from the Municipal Government Act. Deputy Mayor or Deputy Warden. 16-1.
Councilor Fisk, I think we're probably to the point where this motion can stop.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're into the information session. Section. Do I have a seconder to that action? Councilor Muse? Discussion? This is an order of business that we must proceed with. So I think Councilor Frehley, you have a comment?
No, sorry, I was putting my glasses on.
Cooking not an option.
Yeah.
So at this point, I would call for nominations for the position of Deputy Mayor. Councilor Fancy?
I'd like to nominate Susan McLeod for the position of Deputy Mayor.
And Councilor McLeod, would you accept if elected?
Yes.
Okay. Any other nominations for Deputy Mayor? Going for the third time, any other nominations for Deputy Mayor? I'm going to call for the close of nominations, and with one nomination.
Councilor Fisk has that motion to read. He can fill in the blank.
Okay. I would ask Councilor Fisk to proceed.
I've been called Fisk before.
My apologies.
No, you don't have to. Recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens It is a recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve Councilor Susan McLeod to the position of Deputy Mayor for a term of 2 years.
Are you ready for the vote? All in favor?
I can vote for myself, right?
Unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
That's over with.
Engineering and Works, 10.0. Anything to come forward today on that? Finance, 11.1. Councilor Kelly.
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve any of the four signatures of Mayor David B. Dagley, Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod, Richard McClellan, Chief Administrative Officer, or Jennifer Keating Hubley, Director of Finance, to be the first authorized signature as bank signing officers effective November 1st, 2016. And that the Chief Administrative Officer or Director of Finance be authorized to countersign, and further that these officers be authorized for signing all Region of Queens bank accounts.
I have a second. Councilor Frelick. Discussion?
Question.
Call for the motion vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities. 12.1.
I think we have
the second one.
Yes, we'll move to the second one then under finance. It's the second portion to this.
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve any of the four signatures of Mayor David B. Dagley, Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod, Richard McClellan, Chief Administrative Officer, or Jennifer Keating Hubley, Director of Finance, to be the first authorized signature as pension signing officers effective November 1st, 2016. And that the Chief Administrative Officer or Director of Finance be authorized to countersign.
Seconder? Councilor Fisk? Discussion?
Question?
Question? Ready for the vote? All in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. We'll move on now to 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities. Under 12.1, Queens County Minor Hockey Request for Assistance. Councilor Frelick.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a tournament assistance grant of $500 to the Queens County Minor Hockey Association for the Jack Frost Tournament, December 27th to the 30th, 2016, to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs Budget Title of Recreation and Community Facilities Department.
Seconder. Councilor Fancy. Discussion?
Somebody want to give background? Give me background.
I'd be happy to give the background.
Yes, Councilor McClellan.
I'm not a counselor.
Nobody voted
for me. No problem. So this has been a request that complies with our community grants and programs line item. We've provided funding to this tournament before. It's obviously very supportive of the development of our Queens County Minor Hockey Association and the growth of hockey in the region of Queens. So as such, where it fits policy and will help the development of a user and their work in the region, it's staff's recommendation that we continue with this support.
Any more discussion? Councilor McLeod.
Just a little note on the past history of this tournament. The teams have certainly increased over the years, and it's been a very, very well-attended tournament. And it gives us great pride in being able to host it, and it also gives us more exposure to Queens Place from other facilities, other users of other facilities. And I think that's really a really bonus for us here in Queens, is the exposure that we have as well.
Any other discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you. 12.2, Citizen Survey on Physical Activity.
Diana
Johnson is going to give us a short presentation on this item.
His first trip to council. That's area.
So I'm new, not sure 100% of the procedure.
The citizen survey is a survey to collect information on physical activity in our region. Am I following the right procedure?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So as noted in your package, this it falls under the MPAL program. So it's being conducted, I think, in 8 other towns and regions across Nova Scotia right now. During the time from, I think, early last week, November 3rd, right through the middle of December. The objective is simply to get familiarity about the trends on physical activity. What are the barriers? What activities are people doing currently? What would they like to see? Are there issues around infrastructure? And what are some of the barriers that are preventing people from achieving the standard of physical activity? Are there any questions?
Yes. Background. So just some further background for clarity. So Diana Johnson's our new physical activity coordinator, which is a position that was almost 3/4 funded through the province of Nova Scotia through the Municipal Physical Activity Leadership Program. And council gave direction to staff to re-engage with this program in the summer. And when funding became available, upon rejoining this network, the region was a member of that program about 5 years ago. There's a number of resources that have become available to help Diana help us work on physical activity in the region, including this survey that was being done by the network of physical activity coordinators. So this is one of the early resources we were able to get to help Diana do her work.
Any discussion? Yes, Councillor Kelly.
Why is it costing us nothing? Who is Nova Insights and who funds them? And
so it's being paid for under the provincial program through Community Health and the MPAL project. Nova Insights is hired through them. We really didn't have any say in who was conducting the interview. They did most of the work for us. So. Mm-hmm.
So we're able to just sort of jump on the bandwagon and be able to collect more data, because I understand that we previously had a recreation report that was completed, and I'm not sure, was it under the same program before that this recreation strategy was completed? And this would just be...
So that strategy was developed about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
I think previous to the Amaris Center. So things have changed.
Right.
Trends have changed since then, and there has been a decrease in the standard of physical activity across several sectors, youth being one of them, girls in general, and senior population. So there is new information to gather, so that's what the outcome hopefully will be with this.
Councillor McLeod?
It says here participants must be 18 years of age or older. That is in the survey aspect of it, or they're asking for people over the age of 18 what their physical activity is?
When they call the home, they need to speak to someone who's 18
okay,
years of age or older.
Right. So is there any connection with the schools in doing this? I know they're calling individual homes, but it would be nice to get into the schools to actually talk to the young people before they get, before they are not involved in the physical activity. It's like, how do you tell these young people that it's important to be physically fit and that sort of thing?
So in a general sense, that's part of the overall strategy, not specifically to this survey,
okay.
But as part of my job, that
okay.
will be... That will be some of the
That'll
stuff
be
that
an extended
do.
Part of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, but yeah, that's part of it.
Councillor Fancy?
Well, it was nice to meet you. I've seen you around, but I haven't put a name to the face, so it's nice to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of our, probably our most ongoing problem at this particular time, because one thing we started on our mandate from the last 4 years was to, because of the mill going down, the economic development was the big push, which it hasn't changed, but our recreation went really down the tubes. We see, as overall, I know being on the health board, to see the overall population, we're the most overweight group in the whole Nova Scotia and in Queens County. And there's so many other factors that go in, and even just the coordination of trying to get the counties to come together and do things together. It's a challenge. I'm glad to have you there. It's someone that can go in between,
yeah.
rather than just have someone sitting here at the office.
Thank you. I've only been here 2 weeks, but it's been, I've identified a lot of gaps, so I am looking forward to hopefully filling those gaps over a certain period of time. The objective is to provide not necessarily a specific structured program, but maybe unconventional, unstructured opportunities. And that'll be our goal over the next 5 years, and hopefully we can do some short-term things in the immediate future.
Ms. Councilor McLeod.
To make the telephone survey effective, I'm wondering how the general public will be made more aware of this, because Leon obviously wasn't quite aware what the phone call was about. So how do we get that message out more clear?
So we've done Facebook, social media, all those great things. I also have some posters if you as councilors want to deliver those to your community. I'm open to what other suggestions. It has already started, obviously. They do ask you on the poster to be aware of the number that's going to come up, because we all know what we're like with numbers on our telephones these days. So other than that, that's as far as we've gotten so far. It did happen rather quickly, but we wanted to do it just to gather some valid and good information. So open to ideas, but if you take some of the posters back to your community, that'd be great.
And I mentioned through the school system, sometimes you can just send a little note home advising the parents that there may be a phone call coming through. It's not one of those annoying marketing firms. It's something that's really going to be effective for our community. So it might be worthwhile saying something.
So it was addressed in a letter that I sent out to all community groups and schools. Mm-hmm. It was at the bottom of that letter. Whether that all got read remains to be seen. But it is out there. It is in the schools as well. But yes, that would be an opportunity to maybe send home a little notice just so people are aware.
Sure.
Yes, Councilor Fisk.
First of all, welcome aboard.
Thanks.
I appreciate you being here. Have you reached out to seniors programming at all yet?
Yep. So in my
met with any people or
I've got back a few replies from my emails. They went out to most of the groups, or the groups that are linked to our database here. I've heard back from some. And again, very eager to get some new opportunities in their area as well. And they have lots of ideas, which is great.
Yeah, and I understand the fact you have to get used to the area and the decor of the whole county, so appreciate that. Go ahead.
Through the mayor to council, with the reintegration of the MPAL program, it's going to be very important to me that we're reporting outcomes to council on a regular basis. So I do anticipate that this will be an agenda item on our whichever the committee structure that council chooses going forward, so that we're getting frequent updates on progress with the MPAL program. Diane's just literally hit the ground running, trying to create some opportunities, and we'll be more clear on our strategy in coming weeks.
Yes, Councilor Johnson.
Welcome as well.
Thank you.
I think we're all new here, so as you can see by this morning, but maybe one of the things we can do as well to get the word out is do some strategic partnerships with like the Queens Community Health Board and the Queens Care Society from the seniors' perspective. And those folks are certainly on board and very supportive of the MPAL program and the effects that it can bring to Queens. So it might be an opportunity to talk with those folks. I know the time frame is short on the survey, but they can get the word out. They have the network. So.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great.
Any further discussion? Thank you. We'll move on to 12.3, the Duke of Edinburgh Award. And Diane, would you like to speak on that?
Sure. So the background is highlighted there as well. It's through the MPAL program again. I was approached, I think my second day here, to discuss the Duke of Edinburgh Awards. I do believe that it falls under the MPAL program in the sense that it is a community skill building opportunity for our youth. So one, it hits the target market of who we're trying to target demographic of who we're trying to assist. And if you're familiar with the Duke of Edinburgh Award program, it's a self-development program that's available to all young people ages 14 to 24, equipping them with life skills to make a difference to themselves, their community, and the world. The breakdown of the benefits are some of the projects that they have to work on are based around service, community service, physical activity, skill development, adventure journeys, and at-risk youth development skills. So it does fall under our program, and it's something that I think would be great for the region of Queens to be a liaison for. The leaders have already been in touch with me, so there's no development there. We just act as a partner, and or as, you know, facilities for them to have meetings and also participate, for me, maybe join in participation of some of the skill development physical activity requirements, so.
Yes, Councilor McLeod?
It's a wonderful program. I remember my years ago working with the local cable company. I had done an interview with one of the organizers of the Duke of Edinburgh Awards, and there were some local recipients of the awards back then. Haven't heard a lot about it, so it's really nice to have it resurface again. It's a great opportunity for our young people to get involved in something that has such good merit.
Yeah. Again, I think there was a gap here in Queens County. I know for myself, my daughter's involved where I come from, so I think by this fills another part of the void for this specific sector of our demographic, so
that's good.
It'll be helpful.
Ms. Councilor Fancy?
Okay. I don't know that much about it because it wasn't here basically when we came through these last 4 years. So it's going to be a program they have to enlist in, and so it will be a little bit of time consuming, and then you'll see how many people who are, so people will go into the program, and that does. So if they're accepted to the program, they will automatically, or is it, they be chosen, or
nope.
What's going on?
So it's a very minimal cost to the participant, and they pay $30. They register through the Duke of Edinburgh Awards province-wide, so they go on the website. Everything is done through technology these days, so the skills they develop are logged in through their profile on the website. The leaders that have come forward in this community will guide them through whatever skills development processes they wish. There are requirements for each level of the award. You can have a bronze, silver, or gold.
Okay.
They take months to complete, and I know that strictly because my daughter's currently in the bronze phase, and she'll be working on it all year. At the end of the year, roughly, they will participate in what's called an adventure journey. So they will go on a hike where they have to be really self-sufficient and use skills that they developed over the last year through whatever training is provided through the leaders. So that, and those leaders will be asking, you know, community members, experts, people in certain fields to help them assist the children or the youth in gaining the skills they need. But it's all done through the provincial site.
Yes, Councillor Kelly.
So currently, how are you identifying youth that would getting the message out to the youth, like, so that they can sign up, so they know about this program?
So I'm working with the three leaders. This is something that we haven't promoted on any of our websites yet. As I was waiting for some details, I did get those this morning. Got some emails from the leaders that are involved. So I'll be promoting it through the schools. We have presentations set up in schools. I think the two schools, maybe North Queens and the school here in Liverpool. And then promoting it through our social media as well, and then they'll be promoting it on the provincial site also.
And us as counselors, if we know that of youth that would be interested in identify those, you have a package. Is
yep.
there something that you can provide to us so that we have more information about the program
sure.
itself
sure.
so that we can help identify youth that would be
Absolutely.
Interested in joining?
I will photocopy the
okay.
contents of this and make sure you all get it in your mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other discussion? On behalf of council, I'd like to thank our physical activity coordinator, Diane Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move on to 13-0, planning, and under 13-1, we have community transportation needs and feasibility study. I would ask our planner, Mike McLeod, and Queens Care representative, John Murray, if you would come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think on behalf of the region, I think everybody here probably knows my friend John Murray, who's chair of the Queens Care Society. And I guess I'm gonna let John, I guess, roll out, I guess, kind of an exciting project that we're currently rolling out respecting a transportation needs and feasibility study here within the county. And John is as chair of the Queens Care Society, whom the municipality is partnering with, is playing a key role in the actual preparation and rollout of the transportation study. So, John?
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Mayor, councilors, guests, press. This is kind of a fun day for me because we've been talking about this for 2 years and now it's sort of an action thing. Very briefly, because I've addressed this group before, but the Queen's Care Society is an organization that is trying to make our county a better place to live for seniors. Because in the beginning, when we sort of looked at what we had and what we didn't have, what we were short of and so on, it was very obvious that housing was missing here. It was a very important infrastructure. And secondly, there is no regular transportation organization in the community. We are one of two counties in this province without an accessible transportation system. So obviously that became one of our goals. As you may know, we came out with a survey earlier this year, which gave us some a big hint that people did want these things addressed. We then set up various partnerships, not the least of which is the partnership that the Queen's Care Society has been able to develop with the Region of Queens Council and staff. Both Richard and Mike have been extremely helpful. What we have come down to today, without dragging this out any longer, is that we have been able to obtain a $15,000 transit research incentive program trip grant. Just call it trip grant, it's a little easier. And it'll enable us enable the completion of a needs and feasibility study regarding accessible and affordable transportation for the region. The study will align with the recent survey that I mentioned that was circulated in Queens County that addressed not only transportation needs but housing requirements for seniors throughout the region. There are various venues that exist now in our community, and we're just trying to determine what they all are, what they cost, and how accessible they are to the public. But we know the VON has two vehicles that are used. We know that there are, is a taxi, more than one taxi sits in the area, and there are some buses that are used for transportation. But it's not coordinated at all, and so we are going to try to do that. But it may go well beyond that, and this does not just, it's not just in the interest of seniors. The only way we could get the a trip grant was to include everybody in the community. So we're talking a transportation system for Queens County, not South Queens, not North Queens, but everybody. As you can imagine, the various systems throughout the province, they're all different. They're all different sizes. You know, the needs here are obviously quite different than the needs in Halifax. And the needs here are probably different than they are in Bridgewater. So we, Queen's Care Society, has already done some studying of other systems. But now we're, with this grant, which we applied for with the region, we are able to do a feasibility study. Don't groan, feasibility studies can go on and on and on, but this one is going to be finished by January. So in January, we'll know whether it's feasible to go ahead with some kind of a transportation system. And that will be a huge point, because at that point we'll decide what that system is going to be. Can we afford it? Will there be any system? Well, there will be a system because we need it, and we know we need it. But it's got to be sustainable. We're not trying to set something up that's going to cost this organization $100,000 a year or anything like that. Where was I? I'm going to jump around on this stuff. So we want to find the most appropriate system for our particular situation. Regardless of the findings of the feasibility study, the constant is it has to be a region-wide system, and it addresses all needs and demographics of users. The process has begun with the establishment spearheaded by Queen's Care Society of a working group made up of service providers and other interested organizations. And I should say right now that we have two of our board members who sit on this council, Brian and Gil, which we appreciate their liaison that keeps you interested, hopefully, And we have some idea what's going on with council, although we meet on a regular basis too with the staff here. So it's, you lost my place again. You're right, Brian, I shouldn't read this stuff. So we're gonna explore and identify present providers, suggest a cost of service to see if it works, and put in a proper system. The TRIP grant is only the first step in ensuring a sustainable, accessible, and affordable transportation system for the region of Queens. So your contact person is Gil Johnson. I've got copies of this for the press. I'll be meeting with the press, or people from our organization will be meeting with the press so that this gets spread out in the community. But we're going ahead with the transportation system, and this is the first step of it, and I'm very excited. And thank everybody for all the great help.
Any discussion? Councilor Fisk?
John, does this mean that, for an example, seniors or anybody throughout the region of Queens in different areas will have the opportunity to make a phone call and go to a doctor's appointment in Halifax, Bridgewater, et cetera, Yarmouth?
I would say...
Would there be a cost involved there?
Depends. If people can't afford it, then there wouldn't be a cost to them. There will be some cost, generally speaking, but nobody is going to be refused, it's my understanding, because they can't afford it.
Exactly. Continuing on, the Annapolis County, if I'm not mistaken, do they still have the service that comes out of Bridgetown to go for appointments? And that is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, might be cost shared through the province?
Well, the part of cost sharing is happening now with this grant. I don't know.
Have you ever approached that company?
No, we haven't.
It'd be
we
interesting.
Have talked to other areas.
It would be interesting to talk to them, because I was, in fact, I was in Annapolis to the nursing home at one point, and this van arrived out of Bridgetown, and I'm fairly sure it was cost shared through the province.
Councilor Fisk, if I may, RCA old.
Go ahead.
Sure, just two wee things of clarification. Actually, this is a good opportunity for me to collect just a wee typo in the report in case anybody's looking. It references near the end of page 4, St. Margaret's Bay community. It's actually Region of Queens. We're not doing anything for St. Margaret's Bay. They had, for example, though, after this similar project created the successful Bay Rides solution, and each community that has been successful at figuring out community-based transportation solutions are all slightly unique. You know, the region of Queens is a different beast than some of the small towns. So
sure.
We'll have our own solutions that this will help us figure out, and will also help us understand what potentially the region's role might be in a community-based solution. As well, it will help us all going forward at unlocking some of the potential infrastructure and other funding that's available for transportation in the future. This will be very important with helping us understand those couple of things. So there's really quite a number of different solutions that could develop through this.
Yes, if I may, Councilor.
I'm sorry.
No, you had a continuation.
Just to go ahead on this. My point of view would be to see some sort of a base in the region where they can call in whoever with one number. Call that number and get set up. Say if they had an appointment, just for an example, they may have an appointment in Bridgewater at a certain time, as long as they have to give notice of that appointment.
I think that will probably be part of the development. But let me just say one thing. I forgot to mention that the consulting firm we're dealing with is WSP Canada Inc., who we have heard good things about. We've met with them. This thing is in process right now. There was another point that you would make. Oh, I know. There's going to be a coordinator that is going to help with this and some other things, and that coordinator could conceivably be somebody that would represent the VON The Helping Hands organization, which I has just been announced for our community, is going to be playing a big part in this too, particularly on the for seniors. They will identify seniors who need some help. And it may be transportation, but again, it'll go through a coordinator and the right people will be contacted. But we're in the process of setting that up now.
Thank you, John.
Mike, you had a comment?
Yeah, I guess, just to I guess touch on some of John's comments, that is indeed part of what the WSP is looking at as part of their report and the stakeholder consultation is that looking at what type of system would work best for our area and coming back with a number of recommendations as to how that a transportation system would be rolled out and the most effective type of system for our particular needs. So that's essentially what the study is all about. So those recommendations will be coming in the final report.
Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I just want to be, I mean, I was happy to hear you say everyone, that it's going to include everyone.
Right.
Even though you're Queens Care Society and that's focused on seniors, Helping Hands focused on seniors, and VON focused on seniors. I mean, who knows what senior age is this time, you know, 55 plus, 65, whatever it is. But I was happy to know that everyone will be focused on, and whether maybe it's something that's rolled out, so maybe seniors first, but then it continues to grow to include youth and middle age and seniors and everybody to get around our community. We always have this issue with getting from north to south, bringing the north to the south to the north, and that transportation in between there. And as simple as just getting the people that don't have vehicles in the community to get from one side to the other where the services and the grocery stores and things like that are would be nice to see. So hopefully that's what it will grow into.
One of the conditions of getting the TRIP grant,
yeah,
it had to include everybody, all ages. So it will, right from day one, it's going to be there for everybody.
Councilor McLeod?
When I read this report, I went on the TRIP, Nova Scotia Transit Research Incentive website, and it lists a lot of communities that had made applications that were approved. Then I went on to WSP's Canada website, which is an amazing company. They're an engineering firm, but they're amazing, small, medium, large, you know, areas, cities and rural towns. They serve everything. And I went on there and found some of their projects that they had actually been approved. And it's really interesting to see the variance between the size of your community, what your needs are, the demographics, and how they all fit. And I'm really excited to see this project underway. And I know all of our local stakeholders, as long as everybody is asked, everybody, like this firm has to get out and ask the key people that have a vested interest in transportation. And I know that from the federal, Federation of Canadian Municipalities have been supporting transit for years. And I think they may have funding available. There's all kinds of funding out there. Locally, it's the Rural Rides, Nova Scotia Rural Rides, that have funding. Once you get your studies, you get your needs, then you can go from that stage on, as long as you have the concrete information that they need to support you. And that's really good.
Yes, Mike?
Yeah, just to touch on Councillor McLeod's comments about getting the information out there. Certainly, WSP will be doing considerable amount of stakeholder consultation as they go through the process. But part of that consultation actually includes an online survey that they will be rolling out starting today, actually. And I've got the website link here that we will distribute. We'll get it out on our Facebook and all our modes of communication, as well as distributing some copies to some other groups that may not have access to the online stuff, to try to push this out as much as possible to get the most accurate information we can for operation of such a service. So we'll be pushing hard to get the information out.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, something else. As we look at other communities, I think like. I look at somewhere like Shelburne, that's more like where we are. You got a like almost like a town base, and then you got an outlying community. Do we have any other areas that are doing this that we can be able to not just like reinventing the wheel? That you know, there's some things that they've already applied for, some things that's already working for them, or whatever it may be.
we've actually visited some other systems and been have interviewed, and really that's what we're using WSP, because they know all those other systems and they have information on them. And they can take, there may be three or four communities in Nova Scotia that are not totally unlike our community, and they say, well, here's what we've done there. But we were assured that whatever, it's not a cookie cutter type thing, we're gonna have our own system that will suit the fact that we've got North Queens way up north, and you've got Greenfield in the middle, and you've got all sorts of other people who deserve to be on this thing too, living on the various roads around the community. It has to serve everybody,
yes.
And we can't just say that and not do it. So now we're going to figure out how to do it.
Any further discussion? Well, thank you, Mike, and thank you, John Murray.
Thank you.
We appreciate your presentation today.
I'll give the press the announcement.
So I would at this point ask Councillor McLeod to move forward with item 13.2 under planning, motion of recessive.
Okay, just to, before I make the motion, I'd like to just give a little bit of a brief background on the rationale for having this motion come forward. Oh, back in the spring, there was a gentleman that had made an application, a development agreement application to the Planning Advisory Committee. Which actually is a provision under our planning strategy that we're able to change zoning or permitted uses through a development agreement within the downtown commercial core. Originally, before that, any development or any occupancy had to be on a commercial basis, but through a development agreement now, an applicant is able to make an application for the ground floor section of a building that they may apply to have it as a residential use. And that's available through our planning strategy. There was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Savell. He made an application to the Planning Advisory Committee, and we dealt with that application with the information at hand at the time. And it was a general consensus and unanimous that we made a motion to go to recommendation to council for a specific motion. Which I will deal with that in the motion I want to make today. However, after that motion was put forward and approved, Mr. Savell gave us more information that we were not privy to at the time. So we met with him on here at the council chambers, gave us a background on why he wanted to convert those bottom floors to residential, using it as a affordable housing. And I know that we're really, really conscious of affordable housing opportunities here in Queens. So I just thought it would be an opportunity for council to revisit that motion again. So, and we have an opportunity to do that through rescinding the original motion. So I'd like to move the original motion. I move that the motion of the June 14th, 2016, which reads that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality maintains status quo respecting the utilization of the ground floor of a building located at 325-327 Main Street in Liverpool for commercial use be rescinded.
Second. Councillor Frelick. Now, as I understand, a motion to rescind does not allow for discussion. It's an action item, which will then put us back to what existed prior to the original motion being made, and it will allow council and staff to deliberate on the issue and come forward at a future date with a additional or new recommendation. So on that basis, I would ask, are we ready for the vote? All those in favor of rescinding the motion? Let it be known that we have 5-6 in favor. Those opposed? 2 opposed. Please pass. Thank you.
Does it have to be unanimous?
Majority.
The majority, oh.
Because you made the notice prior to.
Oh, good, thank you.
Excellent, thank you. We will move on now to number 14, Queens Place Mirror Center. 14-1, 2017 concert event at Queens Place Mirror Center. That would be Council. Counselor Fancy.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of the Queens Municipality authorize the Chief Administrative Officer to approve a contract for a 2017 concert event at Queens Place Mayor's Center as per the key terms and conditions of the private and confidential in-camera report. 2017 concert event at Queens Place Mayor's Center.
I have a seconder for that. Councilor Muse. Discussion. And first, I guess, we should ask Manager Steve Burns to give us an overview.
Just a quick overview for you. Acquiring music, entertainment events, certainly an in the now process and not a yesterday process. We're aggressively turning over stones, receiving calls, and we need the permission to start moving forward on 2017-18 events. Looks promising at this point for perhaps multiple events.
This is a bit of a sensitive issue because some of this is dealing in camera decisions, and I'm going to ask for discussion at this point. Councilor Fraley.
So what exactly are we looking for? Are we looking for approval to host more than one concert, or are we looking for approval just to move forward for 2017?
CAO Richard McClellan, let's comment.
So, and if council would more like to discuss the thing, we could wait until after our in-camera session to deal with the motion, but we're asking specifically for approval to make the offer as per the in-camera report, 17-2, for a concert. That's what the specific request is for. We haven't asked for further than that at this point.
Councilor Johnson?
If I could just ask a question just for clarity. Where does this fit, Steve, with the events, Queens Events Committee that's been struck to look at some of these events?
You're referring to events local?
Yes.
These are independent Region of Queens and facility acquisitions that we're looking
at. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Councilor McLeod?
So as I understand the motion, it's just giving you the authority once you decide which concert would be best suited for our Queens Place, gives you the authority to sign on that behalf? Is that what this is?
In particular for, again, to Richard's comment, 17-2, mm-hmm. and with consideration to multiple.
Oh, so more than two events?
No, that's a separate, discussion. Yeah. The ask okay. we've made is for this specific one.
Councilor Fisk?
The recommendation is quite clear that it's the Chief Administrative Officer and the Events Coordinator, Steve, at the Queens Place to continue on.
Councilor Kelly?
Well, I was just trying to understand why we need a motion. Isn't this been approved before that? How many concerts and that they have the ability to have a concert? Don't we have a line item for that in the budget that you can go ahead and...
Not yet. So we haven't developed or we haven't received approval for our 2016-17 budget yet.
Right.
What we've done in the past, and we're going to need to do this, is get authority from this council for Steve and myself to move on concerts. So we have one concert here that we're specifically asking for your authority for us to move on. But we will be asking for the authority to be able to move on other opportunities within a parameter that the council will give us. You know, basically that it, again, does better than break even and fits within some certain parameters.
Right.
Okay. Councilor
Fancy? So what I'd say what we're looking at here is just like, because we're trying to do something into a budget that's not even for a new year budget, so you have to be starting looking at that, and they probably need to do something different in the future, but it's where we are today of how we have to handle it. I think it's exciting. It's just what we've asked for, Steve, to go up and find some events, and it's nice to go forward.
And clarify a little more. We're looking at a situation now where we're narrowing in on an event, and we need to empower our staff to finalize negotiations. So it's very sensitive until everything is complete, and I want to make that clear. We're very hopeful that this will be successful, but we're not there yet. So, any other discussion? Okay, ready for the vote? All those in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to 14-2, Councilor Fancy, beverage agreement.
Okay. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve an agreement with Pepsi Beverage Company as per the key terms and conditions outlined in the discussion section of this report.
Seconder? Councilor Fisk? Discussion? Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions because reading through this, I didn't quite understand what this was. It when you read through it, it looks like that we have like a financial revenue coming to Queen's Place of $35,000 a year.
Would it be appropriate to allow Steve Burns to
answer
those questions?
Yeah. Sure. So what is proposed here is that the Pepsi Beverages Company enter into an agreement with Queen's Place Mirror Center to provide Queen's Place Mirror Center $5,000 a year, total $35,000 over a 7-year period, plus a $5,000 signing bonus, which would equal a $40,000 deal. Also, within that, there's equipment in this document. There's equipment costs and a $1,000 payment for canteen signage to obviously advertise the Pepsi brand, Gatorade brand, etc. So essentially, over 7 years, it's a $40,000 deal for Queen's Place. Within that, Queen's Place manages the advertising that would be associated with spurring sales, obviously, within the building. So that would be a minimal cost. The signage cost would be minimal.
Councilor Kelly, did you?
Yeah, so just the one part, the annual marketing support of $35,000, it says. What are we getting? We're getting $35,000 a year?
No.
For marketing
7 years, $5,000 a year.
So it's not annual, that's over seven. That's not an annual marketing support of $35,000.
So
she's referring to the financial summary at the end. It's a total of the 7-year deal, $35,000. So
annual marketing support, 7-year deal, $35,000, plus a $5,000 signing bonus.
So out of this $5,000 a year, we're responsible for the cost and the cost of the signage. For advertising and signage at Queensway, the funding would include the cost of creating and maintaining that signage?
Cost of creating and maintaining that signage. So initially, approximately, $1,200, $1,500 would be invested in signage in the arena. Signage in the arena cues the taste bud, drives the sales,
so
that type of thing.
Approximately $1,500 out of the $5,000 will be used each year for that signage?
No, initially, it's likely approximate cost of $1,500 to implement proper advertising in the arena and facility to encourage the purchases of Pepsi beverage products. Should, for instance, let's say 3 years down the road, branding change, logos change, in major ways that would require us to change the logos, we would then change the logos at a minimal cost. So, annually, very little annually in maintaining the advertising cost. So just up front, we have to implement the advertising.
They're not expecting us to put a Pepsi logo in the middle of the ice surface.
Well, we'll determine what advertising they will be allowed in the building. So
that's not already prearranged what their expectations are for the signage around the building? Or they don't, do they want a big Pepsi sign out in front of Queens Place near the sign?
No, they wouldn't be allowed to have that based on a mayor agreements.
Yeah.
So as facility manager and in conjunction with them, we decide where they will have their advertising in the arena.
Right, and what they'll have, it's just that it's included in the $5,000, so it could seriously reduce the amount that we're actually getting?
Absolutely not.
$35,000 a year less than that?
No, no, absolutely not. It's a minimal investment upfront. Pepsi Cola pays the facility and any facility in Nova Scotia they have deals with. Monies and the facilities administer the monies. It's only to the advantage of a facility to advertise the, of course they want advertising support, that's what they're paying for.
Mm.
So the decision will be made as to where they will be advertised. And by advertising G2, Aquafina, and Pepsi Cola products, that will drive taste buds, which will work to the canteen, et cetera, so.
Yeah, so I see that, yes. The amount of Pepsi or water that you'd be required to sell in order to satisfy the annual contract has to be at least 1,000 because it's 5,000 cases to be sold over a 5-year option.
7,000 over 7 years.
7,000 over 7 years, so you have to at least sell 1,000 cases of something every year, is that correct?
Cases are split in different
denominations,
etc. The concession operator is incentivized to be selling. As we have events at the facility, it gives greater opportunity to sell. As we advertise in the arena, it accentuates, you know, the consumer to buy. And it's a deal that is in line with other facilities of our size around the province. And it's an excellent deal from the fact, and we all have different taste buds, I guess, but you know, Pepsi Cola is the predominant player in the marketplace in Queens County for sure.
Councilor Muse?
Do we have any contracts with Coca-Cola or Pepsi now?
We do. The Coca-Cola contract, which would have been put in place when the facility first opened, has an official expiry date of November the 22nd. When the concession operator was brought into the building April 1st in 2016, all the Coca-Cola equipment was and terms of that contract were transferred to the concession operator. So effective November the 23rd, for cosmetic sake, we'd like to change to Pepsi Cola, and that is with the endorsement of the concession operator, who's certainly an astute business person.
It says here too, you're going to put $1,000 for purchase of a signage at the canteen.
The Pepsi Cola Beverage Company will make a payment of $1,000 up front to support the concession operator in having the appropriate signage at the concessions to promote the brand.
Councilor McLeod?
Well, I have another one. It says in here that Coca-Cola never get back to you?
Coca-Cola was, they did propose very late last week. There was an understanding of when all proposals had to be in, so we did include here that they did propose.
Councilor McLeod?
So the concession, Kingfisher Foods, would make some dollars from the sale of Pepsi? Or
yes, as a business, number one, they purchased the product and purchased it through an account that's set up, you know, with Queens Place, and they are incentivized by Pepsi Cola Beverages Canada to sell a product. So it's certainly in our best interest to advertise the product so they can sell the product. So.
I noticed here also from Councillor Kelly's question, it says here PepsiCo will provide the $5,000 each year, which will look after advertising and signage costs. So there may be a year that there's no cost incurred, so you have a $5,000 straight dollar amount.
And that's an absolutely correct statement that you know, the maintenance costs of the signage will be minimal past the initial investment, which we would keep to minimal, but obviously impactful enough that they're going, it's going to assist in moving cases of product.
And the signage could just be something like on your banners or something, wherever you decide where the signage goes. Do they have to approve that?
We've already had one discussion, and it's really up to the facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're paying you, and they're paying you to promote their product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Councilor Frehley?
Two questions. What are our current sales of soft drinks compared to the quota that we have to meet?
Facilities of this, contracts of this like and facilities of this like, deal between 900 and 1500 cases a year. We presently have a concession operator in the building that I certainly wouldn't comment on the cases of product that he is selling.
So we're not meeting the quota, or?
This.
You're hoping that we meet the quota with
based
the change
on, based on the business that, you know, certainly concession operator expects to do, is hours of operation that certainly extend far past what we were operating as a region. And the activity that will be in the building, there is no qualms about meeting these quotas.
My second question is the 5,000 annually that we're given. There must be conditions with that. They wouldn't just hand over $5,000 with no conditions.
The conditions are that we maintain the advertising in the building, that we meet the requirements of the case number over the period of years, and they, Pepsi-Cola, they have a very aggressive follow-up program. They'll be in the building. Is my signage maintained? How are the sales going? What else can we do? You know, with the operator, have every confidence in Pepsi-Cola in helping execute this.
But as part of the contract, is there something saying that you have to regularly update the Pepsi signs based on the $5,000 that you're receiving?
No, only, Councilor Frelick, only in an instance if Pepsi-Cola is a large company made up of many different facets. Let's say they sold G2, their G2, portion. We would, if we had a G2 advertising in the building, we would remove it and replace it with another one of their products. The maintenance over time will be minimal, very, very minimal. So they're paying you to manage the portfolio. They will follow up, which is great. And I think it's a great relationship, and it's a great deal for Queens Place.
I have a list of councilors that want to speak here, so I'll take them in order. Councilor Fisk?
Yes, Steve. That means that you have to bring all new machines in from Pepsi?
Pepsi-Cola will provide on loan to Queens Place.
Yes.
$10,500 worth of equipment. And should we require, should the concession operator require additional equipment to do some additional things, they will consider that.
Just one more point of bringing those.
And the service is free and et cetera.
The new machines are going to probably be the capacity of using bills?
The bills, yes, and obviously Energy Star rated. There will be a relocation of one machine to be basically across the information desk, so closer to the concession area. All heads up, and
I just think this is a wonderful thing. I really think it's a no-brainer. I really do. I understand the whole setup.
Councilor Fancy?
And that goes along with what Councilor Fisk is saying. I know upstairs we have one up there that, up by the track, which is good when anything's going on up there. People don't have to get downstairs, especially for older people and things. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to get there, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah,
I don't want to get down. And so that would that be none of this would have anything to do with Queens Place. That would all go the revenue all go back to. To the concession?
The concession operator.
Okay,
just your comment.
That's not ours.
You know, just your comment on a couple of experiments that we had, having a machine on the track and that. Again, Pepsi-Cola, understands traffic flows, understands, the selling business. And these pieces of equipment are expensive pieces of equipment. So they will go so far.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I mentioned earlier, should we see the need for a particular event that we may want a little extra, or the concession operator may want a little extra support for holding of beverages, They're certainly open to that, and, yeah. Counselor Muse?
You had a, you say we had a deal with Coca-Cola now?
The concession operator is working within the prior Coca-Cola deal.
And we had, but we must have had a Pepsi deal too, didn't we?
No, no, these companies want exclusivity for selling their products. That's why Pepsi-Cola is willing to pay the facility $40,000 for 7 years to acquire that exclusivity.
At the hub, they have Pepsi. And we have a deal with Coca-Cola, how can we have Pepsi at the hub?
The concession operator has multiple deals. The account was suppressed when the concession operator took over. The account from Queens Place was suppressed. The concession operator owns a number of businesses, or owns a business that he obviously buys from a number of groups. So the transition has begun. There's inventory in the building. He has to move that inventory. He has to move that, you know, the existing Coca-Cola inventory that's in the building. He's not going to replenish it if we're going to put Pepsi in. It would be at a cost to the concession operator.
I'm a Coke drinker.
So.
It's
time to convert, Kevin. Time to convert. $40,000 deal.
Counselor McLeod?
What about your bar upstairs in the community room? Will that be subject to the Pepsi use?
Yes, it will. Yeah.
And you make the profits from that yourselves, not the?
Minimal, yes.
Yeah.
Counselor Johnson?
Does this agreement, not to be negative, Lord,
no.
This does sound like it's too good to be true, but does this have any potential impact on an event that would be exclusively sponsored by Coca-Cola or a competitor?
No, within the industry, we've talked about this already. Within the industry, there's an understanding. I'll just use an example. Say you have a big Hockey Canada tournament come in and Coca-Cola is the main sponsor. There's an understanding among these companies that those things happen. So, no, that would not limit an event acquisition.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Counselor Kelly?
Just for information, was the Coca-Cola given opportunity to do a deal? Like, or did
Absolutely.
You just dump Coke and go for Pepsi because they offered?
We don't,
was
yeah.
there?
We would never be, number one, allowed to dump Coke and go with Pepsi. They were offered on multiple occasions with multiple extensions and the opportunity to put a proposal out there.
And they weren't interested? Or they did,
not very, according to the proposal.
Right.
Pepsi clearly was aggressive in going after this.
Very aggressive.
Okay, so we've handled the discussion portion. I want to thank Manager Steve Burns and staff for being so aggressive to actually pursue additional revenue for Queens Place. It's beneficial to the region of Queens and our residents. And with that, are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? All opposed?